Morning. Going to go from a very familiar verse or two. Simple thought this morning. Mark chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 35. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. Verse 36, where I'm going to preach from today. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Amen. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This morning, I'd like for you to look back at verse 36. And I'd like for you to underline two words, either underline them or underline them mentally in your mind. World and soul. How many of you believe in eternal life? Let's see your hand. How many of you believe in eternal damnation? You know, the sad part about it is, in this day in which we live, everybody wants to hear about heaven, but nobody wants to hear about hell. Hell is something where it has been shunned from a lot of places. I know 30 years ago, I preached in a little Baptist church over in West Pulaski County. And this lady, this older lady, come out and she shook my hand. She said this. She said, "I want to shake your hand." Said, "First time in 9 years hell's been mentioned in this church." Folks, even if we don't mention it, it doesn't do away with it. This morning, I want to preach upon that thought of eternal damnation. I know most of you, probably, if you're like me, now, I get in politics a little bit. I like to watch and see what's going on. My wife hates it. We go on two separate ends of the house. She said, I only have one channel or two that I watch. I said, "Well, what else is there to watch? Show me something any better." But you know, when you watch all this going on, all this political fighting, and you know, here the last couple of days, there was a G20 conference, and everybody, and you have all these new networks, and you know, if you're watching and follow, some of them are against everything that President Trump does, and if he was to give somebody $20, they'd find a fault in it. And so, instead of really dealing with substance, and of course, he calls them fake news, and they get all frustrated because he calls them fake news, and the more they get frustrated, the more they look like fake news. And so in dealing all this issue where he's met the Russian president, he's met the leader of China, and he's met all these leaders in this conference, and instead of dealing with substantive things, how did he have his hands? Did he shake? Where's his eyes at? Did he touch them? He said he wasn't going to do, but this is what he meant. Just drives me nuts. Foolish. They don't know how foolish they look. And I get so sick of listening someone give a speech and then them turn around and say, "Now let us tell you what he just said." Like I'm a little grade school elementary. And they're still trying to figure out how he got in the White House. I just say walk around the country, you can figure out why he got in. Not because he was the most godly one running, no doubt about it. But anyway, you run around the country and it's not hard to figure out why. People are sick and tired of the mess that's in Washington. And so anyway, getting on beyond that, I was just thinking this, and this is where I'm getting to. Would it not have been nice in all this news coverage to hear him asking questions like this? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I mean, how substantive is that? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and in the end lose his soul? Wouldn't it be nice to hear all these talking heads that gets on these shows and these college professors and instead of sitting here and talking about all this garbage? What's going to happen to mankind on the other side of eternity? You don't hear much about it. And sad part about it is the philosophy that's being taught. And somebody said, they said the other day, said they did a survey and 30% of the children, young people in this nation, says they're not patriotic. And you know, I don't blame the children. We shove down their throats in schools and so forth everything, and we've made all these lies and propaganda up about America. When you go back to the history, Brother Junior was talking about being patriotic this morning. When you go back to the history of America, it makes me proud. They have taken and they have diluted the history. Most of them don't even know it. And to be honest with you anymore, to hear them talk, history don't go on beyond this country, back to past John Kennedy and Martin Luther King. But you go back and you study the rich history and the influence that the Word of God has had on this nation.
Amen.
And you know, I'll say this. I believe Trump, President Trump, I believe he needs the Lord. But I'll say this. He's doing more to turn this nation back to places where it's came than any president I've seen in a long time. He's probably got as conservative group that he's appointed as anybody I've seen. I just think God's hand's in it. But let me say this. My hope is not in America. Neither is my hope in this world. And so today, what I want to get to is this. All this philosophy and all this education and all these things that we hear all around us, wouldn't it really be nice if they talked about these questions I just raised? The most important questions in the world. Who's going to care? Who's going to care, Brother Porter, in another year, whether President's hands was this way or that way? Stupid. Who's going to care if he looked this way or he leaned this way? Who's going to care? But I'm going to tell you this. When your eyes close in death, there's some things that you're going to care about. And it's not going to be how the president sat talking to the president of Russia. It's going to be about important things. Now, let me get this, and I'll cover this, and I'll try to keep from chasing rabbits. I was talking to Ruth yesterday, and we was talking about this. And I've talked about Linda. Linda here, her husband, she's lost. How long has Gene been dead? 15 years. How long's Wendell? 12 years. Both of them fine guys. Love both of them to death. You was asking about Brother Don. Brother Don been dead how long now? 3 years? 3 years? Everybody here love Brother Don. But you know, they taught me something. And they told me something. They said, you know, enjoy life a little bit. Somebody said, well, this old world, we should have no part of this world. The only thing is, Jesus said that we are in the world. We're not of the world. Now, Terry back there using the cane. And so Chris right now, she come out of knee surgery and she was on a walker. And she got so down on herself. I said, don't get down on yourself. She said, I can't do nothing without this. I said, the walker is a means of getting where you're going. Now she's graduated to a cane. I said, that cane is a means of getting where you're going. The world to us Christians are just a means of getting where we're going. We're in the world. The world, there's beautiful things about the world. I was talking to him about the lake. The lake's beautiful here. Now, do some people worship the lake? Yes. But I was thinking this morning, we got here, Mark and I got here, and there was a guy that had one of these, what do they call? Drones, big old drones. It's this big. It's flying all around here and flying around the lake and flying over top the church. And Mark said, that makes me feel uneasy. I said, there would be a few things that make me feel uneasy about it too. But I was thinking later on, they were taking pictures and so forth. I don't know if they were working for the state or just doing something themselves. But I was thinking this. Those pictures, and you know, they were looking here and seeing us coming in church and so forth, and I don't know anything about their spiritual state, but I'll say this. If that's how they spend every Sunday, in hell, those pictures are not going to do them any good. And I don't care what pictures they made and what they did and so forth. It's like this woman, one time she asked her husband, he run a bar years ago, and she said, she said, why don't you become a Christian? And he said, I can't become a Christian and do what I do. I can't afford to quit. She said, how much money do you clear a year? He said, $2,000. She said, how many years do you think you got left living? He said, if I live according to the natural way of life, I'll probably live another 20 years. She said, would you sell your eternal soul for $40,000? He said, absolutely not. She said, that's exactly what you're doing. How much would you sell your soul for? He said, I wouldn't sell it for nothing. She said, that's exactly what you're doing. And can I say something? And this is going to get off subject. I'm going to chase a rabbit or two, but let me just say something. Since I've had the pleasure of cleaning house and mopping floors and washing dishes and washing clothes, what are you shaking your head for?
I do it.
But I got an excuse, brother. No, I'm kidding you.
I don't.
I've done it for years. I mean, I help out, not as much as I probably need to. But let me tell you something, ladies. I've seen some women that just thinks their house got to be immaculate. And some people, their whole life is just in their clean house. Can I tell you, if you end up in hell, bragging about you kept your house clean is not going to help you at all. Some people, their life and their ambition is just to have a big house and bigger things. And my wife said, boy, I'd like to have a house like that. We go over London. Have you ever go to London and see that big old huge house over there? I said, I wouldn't have that for no amount of money in the world. I said, I won't keep the thing clean. Amen. If I had my druthers, one room and a bathroom. Amen. But look here. The key is this. So you earn and you have to spend 7 days a week to pay for all the things that you do, and you're running, look what a fine house I have. Can I tell you something? When you get to hell, it will not be nothing that you will even think about. Man, you ought to have seen the house I lived in and on earth. It'll never be brought up. Somebody said, well, preacher, you know, I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, Sunday's the only day I've got to be with my family, and so we go to the lake and we enjoy the lake, and I appreciate you all when you drop by and come to church. I appreciate that. That speaks volumes about you. But can I say this? When you, if you end up in hell because you took your kids all every Sunday, you took them to the lake, you say, well, the Bible says that we ought to spend time with our children and do these things. But, you know, that's just an excuse. The Bible says that you love first no other gods before him. But look here, my point is this. When you get to hell, you can say, you're not going to think one moment's time is not going to be. Boy, we had such a good time running up down Lake Cumming on that Sundays, every Sunday. That would never enter your mind. And my point is this, what you need to understand is that when it's all said and done, nobody can gain the world. There's some rich people around. There's people who's got money that I can't even imagine. You know, even President Trump, he talks about, he throws millions around. He throws millions around like I throw dollars around, amen? And he talks about this, that, and the other. Of course, Washington, they do the same thing. Don't bother them. It ain't their money. But my point is, people's got money that's beyond my imagination. But you know what? If they die and go to hell, the Bible says, how hardly shall a rich man enter into the kingdom of God. I talked to a guy one time, had a lot of money, and he talked about how that, boy, the first million he made, he had such ambition making that first million. And the second million, he said he had twice the ambition. And the fourth million, he had even more. He said, I thought I'd get satisfied, but in getting satisfied, I just wanted more and more and more. He ended up being a billionaire. And he let you know about it. But my point is this. My point is, sometimes what we do is we get so caught up and we don't understand. And what does it do you any good if after this life you die and go to hell? What have you accomplished? Let's take that world for just a moment. The world has this ambition of drawing you in. Anything that you want in life, the world has. What would you want? The world has it. You say, oh, preacher, I'd like to have gold. The world has it. I'd like to have money. The world has it. Oh, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have that. The world has it. The Bible says that we are loved not the world, neither things that are in the world. Why do we not love the world? Why? Anybody know? From 1 John, why does it say? The world's going to do what? Going to perish. And so what we need to understand is this, and follow with me just a moment. So we need to be very careful about loving the world. But the world had all these things, and it has all these things to get you attracted into the world and loving those things. Somebody said, well, it ain't no, it's not wrong to have some money. No, but the love of money is the root of all evil. And what the world's ambition is to get you love the things of the world. In other words, you get so in love with the things of the world. Now I've got things. I got more things than I need. I got things that I really love. I've got a couple old cars. I love the old cars. Randy's got several old cars back there. He loves them too. His dad loved them, I know. I love the old cars. Can't afford all the things. I have to be very careful how I go about. But I love old cars. I just love them. I love to see them. I love to. But they can come and go. I can't get so obsessed with them that I just give and I sell my soul for those things. There's got to be other things involved. And if it come down today that I had to sell everything I had, I just have to sell it. I can't be so in love with it that I've got to be attracted to it. And so what I'm trying to get across to you is this. I'm trying to get across to you that we can't love the world. But can I tell you something? How many times I get a chance to preach funerals and people have spent their entire life trying to be something or gain something. And they've spent their whole life and never took a moment to enjoy life. Now stay with me a minute. That's what Linda told me when Jean died. She said, you better take a chance, but enjoy getting away, you and your wife sometimes. Don't worry about what people says. Spend some time. And you can work and build and you can fret and all this, and you can go with each other and just all you concentrate on, but enjoy life a little bit. Be able to enjoy some things in this world and enjoy each other. But there are important things as well. Everything in its perspective. And so my point and what I'm trying to get across to you is that we can love the world. The world has attraction. And so when you think about, some preacher said this, and I can't remember which one it was, one of the old preachers. He used the thought that when you buy something, there's three things you need to consider. And those three things I'm going to bring about today, and I'm going to close. Those three things are this. If I'm going to buy a piece of property, or I'm going to buy a car, or I'm going to buy something. One time, you know, you've ever heard this slogan about, if it sounds too good to be true, what? And so one time I had this person that wants to sell me something. I thought, something ain't right. It's just too cheap. Well, then when I got over there, I got out, and man, I looked around it. I thought, wow, this is too cheap. Then I got ready to make transaction. He said this. He said, but it's an old car. He said, but I don't have a title. I said, where's the title? He said, there's not one. I said, it does me no good. I said, if there's no title, then therefore it does me no good because I don't own it. And so therefore, what you need to understand is, you need to understand something about this world. Whatever it is that you chase in this world, let me let you in on a secret. You don't own it. And soon life is going to get over with you. I was talking to him the other day. I was talking to him this morning. I said, about my beard. Last time he was here, I didn't have a beard. I said, you know, the amazing thing is, 30 years ago when I had one, it was all brown. And what that tells me is, time is catching up with me. But soon I'm going to leave. And all those things that I said is mine, they're not mine anymore. And so what you need to understand about the world is this, regardless of what you think and what you think you have a title to, you have no possession because they're not yours. And can I tell you something? I preach a lot of funerals and nobody takes them with them. You leave it behind. And so if your whole life is built up with whatever it is that you built your life up, and when you leave it, that's what your whole life was about, my friend, you've lost everything. You better concentrate upon something besides just things. Because anything you've got in this world, regardless of how good you think it is and how nice it is, and somebody said, well, preacher, I do all this for my wife and family after I'm gone. Can I tell you what? I think you ought to lay up something for your wife and family, but let me say this. What I've seen in riches is this. I've seen most of the time what riches does to family is just tear families all to pieces. My dad preached a funeral up in Cincinnati one time, and there was such a division between their families. One of the sons walked in, and the guy was in the casket. He had a pencil, and he wrote a big vulgarity upon a piece of paper, and he took that pencil, and he walked up to the casket, and he stabbed his dad right in the chest and drove that pencil right down into his chest and had that big old vulgarity wrote upon him. Let me ask you this. What good was all, whatever that guy spent his life to? What did he accomplish? And you know, I've seen families split up, and I've told you the story about the song, I'll Fly Away. The most recorded gospel song that's ever been recorded. Did you know that? It's brought in royalties of millions. The guy who wrote it, he was in a cotton patch. He's picking cotton. He's looking at the fence, and he thought, one of these days, I'd like to just fly away out here. And he wrote that song, I'll Fly Away. You know what his family's done with the royalties? They've took each other to court, and half of the fortune that's been made off that song has been squandered upon attorney's fees suing each other, brothers and sisters. They won't even talk to each other and can't even get together for a family reunion because of that song, I'll Fly Away. Can I tell you something? This world and the titles that you have, this world is no good. And if all you have is possessions here, my friend, when you leave this world, you leave it all behind. Nothing go with you. Job said, naked I came into the world, naked I go out. And so the preacher said, not only do you need to look at the title, you need to also look at the insurance. You know, there's times when, and I told the guy that wanted to sell me that old car, I said, it's a fine deal, but if I don't have no title, I can't get any insurance. And if I hit somebody or they hit me, it's all gone. Because it's no good. And can I tell you something about the world? The world has no insurance. The Bible says that it's going to be burned up one of these days. The lust thereof is going to be destroyed. This old world, if this is all you got and this is where you build all your hopes and dreams, my friend, you are of all men most miserable. But I can tell you something. There's a lot of rich people that sell their soul. But I'll tell you even something worse. To be poor and sell your soul. But even rich people sitting down in hell, I'll tell you, you know the rich man, whenever he went down to hell, Jesus talked about the rich man, he went down there saying, you know how much money I had up there? You know what he was saying in hell? Oh, Father Abraham, could you just send somebody, Lazarus, that he could just dip his finger in water and cool my tongue? Oh, Father Abraham, could you just send him back to tell my five brothers they're coming to this terrible place of torment? Don't let them come here. Not one thing mentioned about the pleasures and the money that he had up here. Because I'm going to tell you, if the world is all you got, the world has no insurance, you can't keep death from coming. Amen. It's coming to everybody. And so you better have your ambition upon something besides this life. And so if this is all you've got, what shall it profit you if you were to gain the whole world and lose your soul? And the last thing is this, that this old preacher said. He said, you look at the title, you look at the insurance, and said the third thing you look at is this. Look at how other people has prospered with the same thing. Who has gained selling themselves out? What is this world has that someone has gained and that they sold themselves out for this world and now in hell, they're rejoicing over the decision they made. Name one person. Name one occupation. Name one possession that someone in hell would be rejoicing over today because they sold their eternal soul to get that thing. In other words, when you look at whatever the people has done with that same thing, what you say is this. You say, I don't want that because it's not done them any good. So therefore, what we need to do is we need to take a good look around and understand that all this stuff is fine in its place and purpose. God's made some beautiful places and scenery and enjoy. I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying yourself in a proper way on the lake, but I'll tell you this, you can make the lake a god if you want to. My point is this, if that's all that's in your life, and I know people that every Sunday, every Saturday, they're down here and that's their whole life. And I know that they age and I've watched some of them age, I've seen some buried, and as a matter of fact, I preached some of their funerals, and I'll tell you what, they're not rejoicing one minute that every Saturday and Sunday they had their family run up down here skiing behind the boat. Because I'm going to tell you something. In hell, when you sold yourself for the world, Or a guy told the other day, someone told me, said, he's worth $31 million. He was telling me all this stuff, and I said, listen, I said, it will not do you one good the moment you draw your last breath. And by the way, he's done drawn his last breath. And so everything that he had, and he worked, and up to the last minute, he would sit there, and at the last minute, if you owed him a nickel, he could not rest. $31 million. And if you owed him something, and as a matter of fact, he kept coming around here, and he thought that we took some of his property. Some of you, some of you faced. And he was so worried about that property, and he had properties galore. But you know what? All them properties now belong to somebody else. He's gone. To his last drawing breath, he worried about all this stuff and never got to enjoy none of it because he was so worried about it. What shall it profit you? And let me get on this and I'll close. I told you two words. The world. Well, just check the world out. Do you have a title to anything here? It may be, but it'll be temporary. Second, do you have any insurance against it? Death's going to get you and take you out of it, whether you like it or not. You say, well, preacher, I've got enough money to buy doctors. So did some of the richest men in the world. As a matter of fact, what was the guy with the airplanes? Harry Hughes. Harry Hughes, he put himself in a germ-free place, and he got the greatest physicians and greatest minds, and he thought he would escape death. You know where he's at? In the grave. You know why you can't escape death? It is appointed a man wants to die and after this judgment. Amen. Can't escape either one of them. So there's no insurance that you have in this old world. The third thing is this. Just take a good look at everybody else who sold themselves out for something in this world. It's not proper them at all, and it won't profit you either. So just take a few moments and stop and think about this. The last thing is the soul. The thing that God made you separate from, and I know in this day we worship animals, and I thought somebody said, my dog, my cat, my horse, is my baby. There's a difference between your horse and your dog and your cat and a baby. You know the thing that really irritates me today? This same group that runs around and whines over animal rights and all this stuff, I wonder what they do. And they lived in the time when Israel, when they sacrificed thousands of oxen and all that at one time to God. But can I say this? That bunch that runs around animal rights is the same bunch that votes every single time to kill babies. I don't get it. I'll tell you this, and I'll close here in a second. I went over here one time, had a dog lost. And this old hound dog, and I never could stand to chain one up. I like to let them run loose. And I went over there, and this woman got it, and she was giving me the third degree about why I didn't have that thing fixed. Well, I just got the dog, but it was really none of her business. And I sat there, and she just kept giving me the third degree and giving me third degree. I mean, she was eating me alive with it. I said, lady, can I ask you a question? Because I looked and she had a Obama sticker in her yard. That was during an election. I said, can I ask you a question? She said, yeah. I said, do you love animals? Oh, I love them. I said, you think they shouldn't be mistreated? She said, oh, no, absolutely not. I said, I agree with you. But I said, let me ask you another question. I said, what are you doing with his sticker in your yard? Oh, that's the man I'm voting for. I said, you sit here and you give me the third degree over a stupid dog? I said, did you know 5 times he voted for partial birth abortion? I said, you know what that means? A partial birth abortion, that means that the baby is completely healthy, ready to be delivered. You let it come out of the canal with its head. You stop its head, and you take a pair of scissors, you run it in the back of its head, and you murder that baby. I said, do you understand what partial birth abortion is? That guy right there you're voting for, five times he voted for that to be with women and allow them to do that to babies. And you're sitting here giving me a degree over a stupid hound dog? And man, she got mad. She said, you can get off my property anytime you want to. I said, gladly. I said, but let me tell you something. Somebody's got to answer for the souls of them babies. I said, the difference between those babies and this dog doesn't have a soul. It's not going to live on eternity. Those babies are going to live eternity, and somebody's going to be responsible for taking those lives. They were made in the image and likeness of God. And listen to me. The reason why you need to be concerned about the soul versus the world is because I don't care who you are. I don't care how mean you are. I don't care how good you are. Your soul is going to exist in heaven or hell forever.
That's right. Amen.
And so you better be concerned about your soul.
Amen.
Now let me ask you this question. I don't mean to be mean. Just mean to be blunt. Where's your soul going to go when you die? I'm not interested in who you are. Had a guy one time come when we was building this church. He come and he said, if you let me be deacon here, I'll bring my construction crew in here and just put this church up for you. You won't hold a dime. I said, why don't you just be digging on down the road? I said, what you need to understand is this. You don't buy off God. You either go to heaven through Christ or you don't go. Where is Christ in your life? Is there something that's in this world that's got your attention? And it's got your attention to such a degree that you're ignoring your own soul. My friend, you are of all people most miserable. You have no hope. You have no title, whatever it is you're trying to gain. You'll leave it behind when you go. You have no insurance for your eternal life. And the fact is, everybody that's made your decision has failed. That's why you need to come today. Those that will lose their life will save it. Those that will save their life shall lose it. Would you come this morning? Maybe you're here and you say, preacher, I'm not saved. My friend, the most important decision you'll ever make is salvation. You need to step out and come. Would you do that as we give song, Brother Porter?